North Shore University Health System provides comprehensive, fully integrated health care to the Chicago region with a vast network of medical experts, 4 award-winning hospitals, and 2,200 affiliate physicians. Our physicians are dedicated to exceptional patient care. And now, the host of North Shore Health and Wellness, Melanie Cole.
If you've ever suffered with GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, you know how uncomfortable it can be. Is GERD really what you have, and is there something you can do about it? My guest today is Dr. Mick Meiselman. He's board-certified gastroenterologist and section chief of the Advanced Therapeutic Endoscopy Program at North Shore University Health System. Welcome to the show, Dr. Meiselman. So, GERD, what is it? Are there certain causes we can nail down, triggers, and what can we do about it?
Well, thanks, Melanie. First of all, gastroesophageal reflux disease can be fairly simple in its presentation. It can be as simple as heartburn. This is one thing that many patients will complain of, and they can manage on their own. Other symptoms, however, can occur and are not as classic. In terms of this type of syndrome, it's not so simple. You can have reflux where you actually bring up fluid into your chest, but then reflux can also present as chest pain. It can present with several ENT type findings, ear, nose, and throat type findings, where patients complain of fullness in the throat, sore throat, and in point of fact, the really alarm findings that we have when people have GERD are either trouble swallowing or painful swallowing, or weight loss. So those three symptoms are something that you're definitely going to want to, you know, see your physician sooner rather than later. There's the so-called alarm signs of difficulty swallowing and painful swallowing and associated weight loss.
So if somebody is suffering with GERD, the way to diagnose is what, endoscopy? You have an endoscopy and you can see what goes on, or if it's, you know, causing any kind of esophagitis or even worse problems, then what?
Well, you know, sure, endoscopy is very helpful, but let me make it pretty clear. I mean, reflux is common. I mean, if you really look at a population of adults greater than 50 and you tease out a history, you can get a history of reflux in 50 to 75% of cases. So for uncomplicated GERD, it's acceptable to treat those patients with lifestyle modifications and some medications, which we may or may not get into later in the talk, but... So we don't have to jump to make a definitive diagnosis. However, in general, if we have associated alarm signs, as we talked about, with painful swallowing or difficulty swallowing, or if patients don't really promptly respond to therapy, then endoscopy, which is a lighted tube that we can have the patient swallow under some light anesthesia, we go in, take a look, and we can determine whether or not there's reflux, whether or not there's damage from the reflux, which can then predicate how we're going to approach that from the standpoint of therapy. Is it just 4 weeks or is it long-term therapy? And endoscopy also helps us to make sure that in patients greater than 50 years of age, that there's not a precancerous change caused by the reflux or so-called Barrett's esophagus.
So I've had an endoscopy and been checked for Barrett's myself, and I can tell the listeners it is very easy. You are put out, and it goes very quickly. You wake up, it's done. You didn't even know it happened, and you don't have to do all the prep that goes along with a colonoscopy. Now, as we talk about treatments, if it's a simple reflux, and there's so many antacids, Dr. Meiselman, on the market, do you recommend the over-the-counter, or do you want to, you know, start with medications to reduce that acid production?
Okay. To be upfront with you, I'd rather see lifestyle modifications first. I think, you know, if one wants to take antacids, over-the-counter famotidine or over-the-counter Mylanta, Maalox, those are all appropriate. But realistically, you have to ask yourself, why am I getting reflux? Is it something that I'm doing? Now, we get it with age, but there's lots of factors that precipitate it that you need to consider in terms of modifying your life. And if you'd like, I'll go through those with you.
I would love for you to do that, because lifestyle modification would be the best first line of defense. So go for it.
They really are. And in point of fact, even if you go on medication, really you need the lifestyle modifications to really minimize the damage and make yourself the most comfortable. So lifestyle modifications. All right. First of all, you want to try to avoid overeating. So the corollary there is you want to eat at least three meals per day. Okay. Generally, fats tend to delay the stomach's emptying, and they also open up the sphincter between the esophagus and the stomach, so they really can provoke reflux. So you want to have a low-fat diet, three meals per day. You want to minimize coffee. Coffee can cause reflux. Now, we used to think it was just a caffeine, but then in our some good work by a gentleman named Sidney Cohn out of Temple in Philadelphia showed that even decaffeinated coffee provokes reflux. One drink a night is fine, you know. But excessive alcohol promotes reflux and it promotes damage. And then another important factor is to not eat before lying down. There's a lot of gravity in this. And when you eat and then lie down within an hour or two, your stomach is full, and if you tend to relax, and the sphincter, again, that muscle between the esophagus and the stomach, relaxes, and then sure enough, you'll have reflux. So you want to go to bed on an empty stomach. I tell patients, no solids 3 hours before bed. You can have water up until 1 hour before bed, and then nothing until the next morning. And finally, everybody's got to kind of look at themselves and say, how about weight? If you gain just 10 pounds, that can precipitate the onset of reflux. So reflux is very weight-related. You got to work on keeping your weight down.
And if you exercise, if you're an exerciser later in the day, does that affect how that meal is digested and whether or not it, because obviously we want to do it to keep our weight in control, but is there any effect from exercise?
Yeah, I think that exercise is critical. And in general, I think it's great to exercise before you eat at dinner, but the point that I see a lot of my patients come to is they say, well, I can't exercise before dinner and then get my dinner done and then wait 3 hours to go to bed. So I'll tell you, I'm willing to work around exercise. There are people where exercise precipitates the reflux, but I think it's so important to a healthy lifestyle. I say exercise, and we'll worry about working your diet around it.
Now, is there something that would signal that it is getting worse and someone should come to see you? Like if it is getting to be Barrett's esophagus or any of those, the trouble swallowing, those kinds of things would signal a little red flag?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, painful swallowing. And the other thing, we know that there are some specific risk factors for Barrett's esophagus. Tobacco and alcohol are risk factors. And even Caucasian males greater than 50 tend to have a high incidence of Barrett's. In some studies, it's up to 10 to 15% of the population. So we have a lower threshold to put a scope down somebody who's smoking, drinks some alcohol. Even, you know, they can be 50, greater than 50 years old and Caucasian, and male greater than female. These are the risk factors that we look at. But yes, pain with swallowing and trouble swallowing are clearly key, or just a lack of complete response to medication and lifestyle.
Now, Dr. Meiselman, holidays are coming up, not too far away, and people overeat. And they eat and get tired and fall asleep, and, you know, they eat too much, and so it takes a while to digest all of that food. What advice do you have for people to try and keep their meals smaller and through the day? I mean, that's hard to do on the holidays.
You know, holiday heartburn is a real entity. We see people on the other end back in, you know, as we see them after the holidays, January or February, they've picked up 10, 15 pounds. You got to try to keep your weight down. I mean, I don't think you need to plan for tomorrow. I think you plan for today, and you keep your meals down. You try to keep the fats down. Chocolate, desserts are going to be, they're going to be factors. Not only will they put weight on you, but again, chocolate actually in itself is refluxogenic. Mint is refluxogenic. And just fatty foods. So the best I can tell you is plan ahead. I mean, you know, if you want to splurge a little bit on the holidays, you know, you've got to be careful and you got to keep your healthy eating through the holidays.
And Dr. Meiselman, in just the last minute, tell the listeners why they should come to North Shore University Health System for their gastrointestinal care.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, we really do believe that we have an excellent system. We try to deliver extremely personalized care. We believe in trying to meet the patient's expectations, And we don't want to, we don't really, you know, we believe in looking at lifestyle rather than jumping to more aggressive therapies. We didn't talk about medical therapies, but again, you know, we try to treat the whole patient. And a lot of times patients will come to North Shore with reflux as their problem, but we'll diagnose other problems that are contributing, lifestyle issues. So we try and, I guess, to sum it up, we try and treat the whole person. Reflux just may be the presenting symptom.
Thank you so much. You're listening to North Shore Health and Wellness. For more information, you can go to northshore.org. That's northshore.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.